Some of the modernist Bible call a firmament a sky. That's a bad answer. A sky has air in it. Some of them call it a vault. That's a worse answer. Some of it call it an expanse. That's close again. But an expanse doesn't carry the idea that it is round. And so firmament is what God created on Monday. Then on Tuesday, we looked at last week, and on Tuesday, God created land. Before that, there was just water, and then God created land. And not only dry land, as the Bible says, but in that is also gold, silver, precious stones, precious metals, precious everything that we find, all the minerals again. And I tried to look up and didn't do a very good job. I think there was like 103 elements, except some of them said 90, and some of them are man-created. Isn't it amazing we can create our own elements now by combining different chunks of neutron? And so notice again that all the elements were created on that day. At least all of them God needed for the creation of the earth. And so now we're up to day four, and let's go ahead and take our reading out of Genesis chapter 1 on the fourth day, starting in verse 14. And watch very carefully what's created, and we're going to just have a little lesson again, as it were, on what God created on the fourth day. I'm amazed at how many people don't know and take lightly this. And some of the problem is that you all have a TV in your living room, okay? And you don't go out and lay under the stars and watch the planets go by, and people don't know what a wandering star is today. And so we're going to spend a little time looking at some things that God created on the fourth day. Genesis chapter 1, and let's go ahead and start in verse 14. If you'll stand with me for the reading of God's Word, you follow along in your Bible as I would read from God's holy writ, His creation account. We believe every word of it. We don't add to nor subtract to God's accounting system here in this chapter. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 14, the Bible says, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs, let them be for seasons, let them be for days, let them be for years." Notice again that these lights that are defined have some purpose and some timing in them on this creation account and on this creation day. Verse 15, "Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also." Can someone tell me what the greater light would be?
Sun.
The sun? Someone tell me what the lesser light?
Moon.
The moon? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Does that fit into our logic and what we understand here again? So we have a sun and a moon. They aren't named here again. He named day and night. He named... what was the other naming he gave here? Day and night he called them, and the firmament and the heavens he called and named them. So notice here again he refers to them, and then I love this little phrase that we just read, and he created the stars also. Wow. Verse 17, "And God set them in the firmament," we all understand what a firmament is here now, right? "Of the heavens to give," or of the heaven, singular, "to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good." Verse 19, the Bible says, "And the evening and the morning were the fourth day." Father, praise you again. Thank you for your accounting of how you created the universe that we now occupy. And I pray again, Father, that as we would study these things, you'd give us the faith to believe you and to trust you, but also, Father, the mind to understand better what you are showing us and the marvels of this universe. We'll give you the praise now for touching your words. In the name of Christ, we pray it. Amen. You may be seated, and while you're headed there, go ahead and look over to Hebrews chapter 11 as well. Hebrews chapter 11. I like to emphasize when we're looking at creation that God has done a miracle here, and we're still struggling to understand the miracle. And there are some of it, there are pieces of it that you're going to just have to take by faith. That's all there is to it. And trust God at His Word. And that's a good thing for us to learn. Again, a good thing for us to do. My concern and my occupation has been here for the past several months is to learn to read the Bible very carefully and to comprehend what it's saying and not add to nor take away from, to understand what figurative language is. And today, can someone count the syllables in this word? We need to learn what phenomenological language is. So we'll work on both of them today. If you have your Bibles open to Hebrews, look with me at just the first two verses. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, I'm sorry, first three verses. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And so again, we have, I've written my dissertation and published it, the draft of it again for review, God made the universe out of nothing. And then the more we explore the universe, the more we explore the atom, and now again the boton that they split in Europe. They call it the God particle. I forgot the name. But anyway, we're down to splitting the very protons and neutrons up in our accelerator over there. And so we understand, again, when what the Bible says there, that we understand. It's a good thing to have some understanding of what God has created. But anyway, when they split that up, we realize that, hey, everything is made out of nothing. That the world is made out of nothing. And listen, we couldn't really prove that or demonstrate that until the past 20 years, at least it was theorized. But now we've pressing on with those theories and have proved that, hey, the world, there's no such thing as mass. The world is made up of nothing, and mass is nothing more than energy bundled together into what we call particles. They bundled together and build protons and neutrons. They bundle together and build an atom. They bundle together and build molecules. And we have water that God created on the first day. So listen, the science of all this has already gone on to demonstrate that God means what He says and says what He means. The world is made out of nothing. God spoke it into existence, and that includes time and space. And so, as we consider those things, it behooves us to believe exactly what God says, not add to nor subtract from, but to understand what He says. And I want to spend a little bit of time to gain an understanding of what He says here for the fourth day, a Wednesday. His creation day was Wednesday, and we're looking at what God created on this Wednesday. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. I want to look here at this next verse, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. And I want to stop right there and see if we have any lunatics in here. Anybody know what a lunatic is? Don't raise your hand, please, please. I see that hand. Anybody know what a lunatic is?
Yes.
What is a lunatic?
Somebody that elevated up all the way to the top.
Yeah, we can say that. Or his dipstick doesn't, no, his fuse doesn't quite reach the powder is one of my favorite ones. All of his puppies don't bark. Don't get me started on that again. So we're not talking about exactly who we call a lunatic. I'm talking about where does that word come from? The moon, okay? It's lunar, and a lunatic got called that because they would go out and howl at a full moon again. And so they started being called lunatics, and so we've still got them around today again. But I want that we here would be a little bit, understand lunarology, I guess. Let's learn some things about the moon, and let's look at them. And a lot of these things are learned by God's Word first, and then by observation, and we're going to call observation, listen to this word, science, okay? So observation is science. Evolution is not science. Science is something that you can observe, and you can watch it unfold. No one has yet watched beagles turn into Clydesdale horses. That's not something that you can observe, and consequently, it's not science. Nor have they watched lizards turned into bald eagles. They can't see that happening, and so they invent billions of years to pretend that it happened. And so again, here understand that we have some observational science that we want to do today. Now notice it says here that there's two lights, a greater light and a lesser light. And I first want to deal with the fact that the sunshine is, as we can understand it, a burning ball of hydrogen. The moon is a burning ball of what? Cheese. Okay, yes, I heard that. Green cheese, I think they said, didn't they? It's because it's old again and probably Italian. So notice again that the moon and the sun are different entities. Does the Bible clarify that they're different? Why does it do that? We got a great light and a lesser light. That means they're different? But it calls them both lights.
Yeah.
Okay, and so I want us to first notice that when God is giving us this information, He's using what we call phenomenological. In other words, we look at the moon and say, look, there's a light up there. This morning at 6 o'clock, it was shining in our bedroom window, and I jumped up and said, wow, it's daylight at 6 o'clock. It wasn't. It was the moon again had come down and was shining in our bedroom window. And boy, it was bright. It's almost like a light. And when we see something almost like a light and we describe it as a light, understand that it does not have to be a light. I want you to know that the moon is not a light. It is a reflector, okay? Bible says, ye are the light of the world. But you aren't the light of the world. You are a reflector. You see that? And so again, when we understand that this is a Bible speaking, and there is a difference. Anybody heard of a waxing or a waning moon? Anybody seen the quarters of the moon? Okay, and so we understand that the moon, again, as it goes through the sky, is in a different place every night when we look up there. And if you watch it all night, it follows the same track as the sunshine followed during the daytime. It's a little bit different. It'll be off just a little bit from one direction or the other, depending on whether it's winter or summer. But these were given for signs to us and seasons. And so the moon is up there, and it goes around, and it gives light. But it is not a light, per se. It is a reflector. And notice there's no distinction between those two in these verses of God's creation account. It calls one a greater light and one a lesser light. But again, there's no indication that the sun is what gives the moon its light. Just deal with it, okay? We can observe and say, yep, sure enough, that's how things work. And now I want again, if we all understand that, we're comfortable with that, I want to again bring your attention to our screen over here. And notice on our screen that we have, you can't hardly see it, I tried to get this on our big screen TV and it didn't work. But this here is a horizon. Here's the sunshine. This was this morning, just before sunrise. And ever since
1982, when I was in college, I have built models and watched models that predict where all the planets and the moon are, and again, the patterns that they follow. And so I picked up this program back when it was public domain, and it still works on the older computers. And so this is the sun. It's about to rise here. And right now you can see Mercury, Pluto, and Venus. And the moon, if you follow it, is way over about to set. And so let's go ahead. That's looking what? East and southeast. So if we go over and look all the way to the west, you know, there's the moon. Do we all see the moon? This is the moon, and it's about to set. So this morning, just before the sun was rising, the moon was setting. And again, there's again all the constellations, and here's another planet called Jupiter, and they're all following this red line track. And so again, when we look again at what God has created here, we notice that the moon and the sun appear to go around the earth and follow the exact same track. But they, as we understand more, they don't. We want to see if we can understand more today. And so here we have the moon, and it's amazing how much we do not know about the moon today. But it's even more amazing what we do not know about the planets today. And so notice it says in this verse that God made the stars also. When you say this ditty, starlight, star bright, first star I saw tonight, the first star you saw tonight was not a star per se at all. It was a planet. And usually, anyone ever heard Venus called the morning star? Mm-hmm. Venus is called the morning star because Venus is always right close to the sun. And as just before the sun comes up, you see a star, and it is again Venus. It follows around the sun, and then just before the sun sets, or just after the sun sets, you can't see it when the sun's shining, but just after the sun sets, you look out there in the west, and you see a planet called Venus. Venus is always close to the sun. And so I want to go ahead, and these are called wandering stars. There are five visible wandering stars, and two of them you cannot see without a telescope. And so I want to look at those five visible stars and just understand some things about what God created here on this fourth day. Notice I tried to emphasize that these stars, these lights in this firmament were given so that we have seasons, that we have years, that we have times that we can distinguish. And again, that was the way God had set it up. And so there aren't wandering stars, and there are stationary stars, okay? Are we all with me? Is that confusing? Okay, if you have not gone out and watched the stars at night, or purchased a cheap little program like this that does it for you, then sometimes we can't distinguish wandering stars from the stars that we see, but they're usually brighter. And listen, they're like the moon. They do not shine by themselves. They are sitting in sunshine, and we look at them and say, wow, there's a star emitting light. It is not emitting light. It is reflecting light. Okay, and as we understand those things, I want to just distinguish here that God made these things. The Bible says in Psalms 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament, this is this firmament we're having described here, the firmament showeth his handiwork. And I'm still amazed at how little, really, we understand about the firmament. I didn't understand a lot of it and didn't explore too much of it until I got to college and took a course called Orbital Mechanics to begin to understand that we live in a planet where that follows, or we live in a universe that follows God's rule. I'm going to go ahead and do a quick demonstration here, and I'm going to need some help here. This here is the universe, so I've got to get some of the meteorites out of the universe here so we can demonstrate how this works. And then I need some volunteers. Who can volunteer to help me? I need someone that will come up and be the sunshine for me. What's your name? What's your name?
Ben.
Ben, come on up here, Ben. You are going to be our sunshine, okay?
So I want you to stand right here and smile. And you, this is sunshine, okay? Then I need another volunteer. One of the girls here. Come on up here. Anybody know what the planets are? Mary's velvet eyes make John stay. Okay? Mary's velvet eyes make John stay. Okay, that's six. I said there's only five visible. And I'm not counting the Earth, okay? That's not really visible as a star for us. And so Mary, it stands for Mercury. And so I need Mercury. I need someone called Mercury to come on up here. Come on, bring your sister up here. Come on up here. Oh, come on. All you have to do is walk up a circle around Beth. Can you do that? Can I get one of you girls to do that?
Right. All right. I'm going to be Mercury.
Okay.
I'm Mercury. No, I'm Mercury.
No, we got Mercury.
All right.
We're going to have Dane be Earth.
All right.
Okay, so stand right over here beside Ben. Right here beside Ben. Good job. What's your name?
Rihanna.
Rihanna. Okay, Rihanna here is going to serve as Mercury. Now I need someone to serve as Venus. Got anyone that wants to be Venus? Okay. Venus goes right here beside. And then Earth, you come on right over here, and you stand right here. Now Earth again, and this is the order. Okay, so this is the sunshine. You leave out from the sunshine a huge distance, and you end up with what was your name again?
No,
it's Mercury. Okay, Mercury, and then we end up with
Venus,
and here's Earth out here. Okay, now Earth, I want you to move over this way just a little bit. And then spin around in a complete circle. Okay? Yeah, just like that. That's spinning around.
Keep going.
And now as Dave spins around here as a planet Earth, you notice that we're someplace right here on this shoulder, and we see the sun come into view, and we call that a sunrise. Does that make sense? And so notice again, when here's Mercury and Venus, and the Earth's out there spinning around, and I want you to go ahead and walk a circle right around sunshine here. Can you just walk together, just a little circle, just keep walking all the way around.
Where's the sun?
Son, you got to stand still, okay? You stand right there. One more, let's stop right here. Do you notice again that the Earth, these two are always inside of the orbit that the Earth is on. And so, Earth, I want you to face that wall right now. And this is us at midnight, right? At midnight, we are facing completely away from the sun. Is there any time when you could, at midnight, look away from the sun and see either Mercury or Venus?
Yes.
No.
Can't.
Not when you're looking away from the sun. And Mercury and Venus are closer than the sun, you'll never see Mercury and Venus at midnight. They're not going to be up there where you can see them because they're closer to the sun. Make sense? Okay. Now, Earth, you stay facing away.
Okay.
And I want you two to make one more orbit around our sunshine here. Okay. Don't move, sunshine. And perfect. Now notice again that in that rotation, that they did their orbit, and the Earth again never saw them at all at midnight.
No.
Okay. And that's the way our model works. That's the way when we look at the orbit. Now here's the next thing I want to do is what I do if Dave was dexterous, I'd ask him to spin around in circles while he's walking around sunshine here. But notice that he can't do that, okay?
All right, so what do you want me to do?
So instead, here's what I'm going to have Dave do. I'm going to have Dave stay right here and face that way. This is midnight in the between fall and or after fall, okay? And then I want you to come right up here now and stand right here. No, you can walk normal again. And stand right here. And again, remember, he spins around for our days.
And now this is December. And here, and he's supposed to be leaning this way. So if you stand and lean this way, this is what the earth is doing in December. And notice again that the sun is over here. And I want these two to go ahead and make another lap around the sun. And notice again that even in December, again, these two are always between him and the sun. And you cannot see them from the earth at midnight when you're facing away. Okay? Now, they've come on right over here. And this is what our solar system looks like in the springtime. Again, the earth's over here spinning around. And we have a time when we have days and nights are equal. What's that called?
Equinox.
Equinox, okay. I forget what it was up there. Solstice? The longest night?
Yeah.
Is the winter solstice. And so this would be equinox here. And notice again that now the earth is over here. These two would still be orbiting inside of this orbit. The earth then goes way over here. Come on back down here. And this is what it is in the summertime. And you've got to be leaning towards the sun just a little bit. And that's why it's warmer up north here, is because the north is leaning towards the sun. And he's still spinning around. Okay, you all with me so far? Okay, now these two planets are fired. You may go sit down. Good job. We appreciate that. We've got to keep our sunshine, and we're going to move Mr. Earth a little closer in here, so we're going to change our scale, and I need two more planets to stand out here. What are the other two planets? Mary's Velvet Eyes, E's for Earth, Make John. Mars and Jupiter. So I need two planets, Mars and Jupiter. Any more volunteers? You could be Mars. You got pink on, that's almost red. Want to come on up and be Mars for us? How's our sunshine doing over here? Here's our sunshine, okay? So you're going to be Mars, and then we need someone who's...
Okay.
Here comes Jupiter now, okay? So Jupiter's going to come and stand right here. Okay, now this is the arrangements of the planets. And notice again that we have the Earth. It takes 1 year for the Earth to walk all the way around the sun. And while he's making a walk around the sun, Jupiter and what was your name again?
Becca.
What was your planet again?
Mars.
Jupiter and Mars are going to take a lap around as well, okay? And so notice that took 1 year for Mr. Earth to walk all the way around the sunshine. Go ahead, take another lap. And so we have all of these rotating. And don't lose your order again. Don't lose your order. You stop right here. And you come over here and stop right here. And you come way over here and stop right here. And so they're still in that same orbital order. I want you to notice that at midnight, face that way, away from the sun, notice that he can see Mars at midnight, and he can see Jupiter at midnight. And if he pulled out a telescope, he could see Mary's Velvet Eyes, Make, John, Stay,
Saturn,
Up, Uranus, and
Pluto.
Proposing, okay? We're not sure if he's proposing anymore because they don't like to call Pluto a planet. And notice again that when Mr. Earth is facing right away of the sun, no matter what time of the year it is, that he can still see Mars, he can still see Jupiter. And so notice that's a big deal. And that's how we tell which planet is in which orbit. And so Mr. Sunshine here, again, as Dave spins around, that's a 24-hour day. As he rotates around the worlds again, come on up here for the winter time, and in the winter time and lean that way away from the sun, notice again that's where we're at right now, in the winter time. And again, these two are still, we don't have room to do it in our auditorium, they're still making this huge lap around the sun. And we understand that as we look around at night, the sky changes. And again, we can see wandering stars go by. There are 9 wandering stars. Mary's velvet eyes make John's stay up nights proposing. Okay, that works for me. That's all I got. Someone's got another ditty that goes with that. But those are the nine wandering stars, and one of them is our Earth here. Okay? We can thank you very much.
So at noon, I can see them, though, right? At noon, I'm this way, so I can see the other two.
Yeah, let's go ahead and at noon, high noon, face these two, face the sun. And you notice that you cannot see these two right now.
Wouldn't I be facing this way?
No, you'll be facing the sun.
Okay.
At noon, you're facing the sun. At midnight, you're facing away from the sun.
That way.
Here's our sun. You got to face away from sunshine. That's midnight. Okay?
All
right. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay, come around at noon and tell me why you can't see Mercury. You know, stay right there in the dead of winter time. Again, that's where we are. And face the sun. Okay, that's noon. Today, again, at noon. Why is it that you can't look up and see Venus,
what was your name again?
Mars, and Jupiter?
They're behind you.
No, they're not. They're right up here. You can see them.
Well, I can see them.
I can't see them.
You can see them, except Ben here is much brighter than he really looks. No, don't say that. Ben,
his reflective light.
Your sister liked that one. Ben is so bright that he blares out and you can't see the other planets during the daytime. Okay, and so, again, in the daytime, unless you're facing away from the sun, that's after sunset, you cannot see these other planets. Okay, I'm going to dismiss these two planets and have our planet Earth. You can go ahead and sit down. Thank you very much. You are Jupiter and Mars. Okay? And now let's learn something about the Earth there. We've already looked at he goes around. And those are our four seasons. And he has a season because he's leaning. Okay? He leans again away from the sun here. Why don't you move right over here? Here's our sunshine. And again, notice that the Earth is out here facing away, and he's up here leaning away because it's wintertime. Now, if you could spin around and keep leaning towards the kitchen, that would be a rare talent.
Yeah.
And you can do that on ice skates, I suppose, but we're not going to do that here today. Instead, I want Dave to come back here a little bit closer to the sunshine so he can make a lap. And I want you to, at midnight, always face away from the sunshine.
So midnight.
No, midnight's right here. Away from sunshine. Okay, so now he's facing away from sunshine. I want you to look at the stars he sees back here. See this whole back wall? It is coated with just a pavilion of stars. And again, as you look at all of those stars, that's what you see when you look from the Earth. From up north here, you look back and you see them in the wintertime. Okay, now I want you to move over here for springtime. And from over here, and I want you to turn around to midnight, facing away from the sunshine. And notice he sees a whole different set of stars. The stars are all different in the springtime than they were in the wintertime. Y'all with me? Okay, now I want you to walk all the way back over here and spin around in circles as you do and stop at midnight again facing away. And notice again when he looks now at the midnight sky, he sees all of that constellation. One more look again. Let's move on over here to our fall. And now notice again he sees all of that constellation. And so we have divided this stationary room full of stars, we've divided it up into how many constellations?
Four.
Okay, I don't want to say constellations. We've divided it up into 12 divisions. A constellation is where we've put together some of them that look like certain things. And so we've divided them up into 12 divisions. And those are our 12 months. Here he was up here in January. He's over here in February, March. He's down here in April, May, June. Right here is where he's looking at that constellation. July, August, September. He's looking at this. November, December. He's looking back there at the doorway. Does that make sense to you? So at midnight, the sky that you look at midnight is going to be all the different constellations that are around this room. And you look and you can spot those constellations. Okay? And so I thank you, Sunshine. That was an excellent job. And you may take a seat. Thank you, Benjamin. That was a good sign. And Earth, you are dismissed. And so I want us to understand that there's two differences I want us to see here. One is that there are stationary stars in the constellation, and depending on what time of the year it is, depends on whether you see that constellation or that constellation. But those wandering stars, they go around in a circuit around the Earth, and whether you can see them or not depends on whether the sun is visible or not. If the sun is visible, you cannot see those planets, but as soon as you turn towards darkness a little bit, all of a sudden those planets shine up as stars. They are planets. They were called for years wandering stars until the Greeks saw them. You know what the Greeks called them? Greek for wandering star is planet. Okay? And so it wasn't too much longer when we figured out that, hey, wait a minute, Earth is also a planet. It is a wandering star. And so again, when we consider the lights that were made, and he made the stars also, I want you to know that they determine our seasons, they determine our times, that there's five of them that you can see with the naked eye, and if tomorrow morning at sunrise, you go out and look towards the east where the sun is going to rise, you look towards the west, you can see the moon just about to touch the horizon, and you can see Jupiter just about to rise. If you turn and face to the east, and this is, again, just before the sun rises here, though we're just below, this is our horizon. The sun's just below the horizon. It's going to follow this orange track up here, and it's going to follow these stars. Mercury, Pluto, and Venus. Remember I said that Venus is always close to the sun, and so you follow that month by month, and you can watch again as the stars come in different locations. Let's step through, again, a couple months. I'm going to step a month at a time. We are here on January 24th at 7:45 a.m. We're going to step 1 month. And that's what it's going to look like in February 24th. Okay? Notice again that in February 24th, the sun will be up at 7:45. That's because the days are getting longer. And notice again that there's Neptune. Where'd Neptune show up? Mary's velvet eyes made John stay up nights proposing again. So Neptune will be right next to the sun. You can't see it again, but you still will be able to see Mercury and Venus. And here's Pluto out here. Nobody can see that without a telescope. So if we step another month, and again, if you want, you can watch all the constellations change in the background. If we step another month, notice again that now the sun is way up there at 7:45 in the morning. Venus is moving closer to the sun. Neptune is moving further away from the sun. That's why we call them wandering stars. Every day at a different time, or at the same time, they've wandered from their previous location. There we are into June, July. Now this is the summer sky. Notice that the track that the sun makes is now way up here again. It goes across the sky on a different plane. It's because we have moved again. And if we go again another month, and a month, and a month, this is what it looks like in September. Another month, this is what it looks like in October. And then November, December. In January 24th, 2017, we've come a whole year, okay? And in coming a whole year, notice here we are back here. Next year at this time, there's the sun. But again, now we have Mercury and Pluto are down here. Venus is, Neptune is way back here. And so these are called wandering stars. And notice again that the constellations, you can look at those constellations from any direction on this map, because the sun does not block them out. Normally at daytime you can't look up and see all the constellations, but they're still there, okay? And so again, when God said He made the lights, they're for seasons, they're for times. Therefore, again, our determination of times, I want you to see again that there's a pattern to them, and we've figured out the pattern. It's divided into 12 different months, and notice again that some, because they think that the way you act, the personality that you have, is determined by the stars, because they worship the stars. And so they think that you, if you were born under the Pisces, again, I don't know what month that is, but if the constellation you could see at your birth was the Pisces, they think you act a certain way. If you were born and the stars were in one place and the planets were all aligned in a certain place, and you were born and you could see the constellation Cancer, then again, your personality is different. And you've heard of these. You can check the newspaper and find out again that they've plotted out all the different personalities for the stargazers, for the star worshipers, for those that think your personality and your destiny is determined by which star constellation you were born under. Then notice again that that's called not astronomy, that's called astrology. And so all people that worship the stars carry a horoscope around with them, because a horoscope is their gods telling them how they're supposed to behave because they were born under a certain constellation. And again, there's 12 of them. How old is that?
2,000
years old?
Oh, but
let's go better, yeah. Again, ever since man has been sleeping under these stars, they've understood that there's all different the constellations. And the constellation that you see in the fall is different than the one you see in the winter, is different than most humans, most Americans have not a clue of that. But again, as we go around the sun and we have our back to the sun and we look at a new constellation, we're looking at all the constellations of the firmament. And it's like they're portrayed on a giant circular screen that's a sphere shape and goes around the whole earth. And again, there's a portrayal of those stars out there. And as we understand them, we can even see that some stars are further away, some stars are closer. And that's the whole field of astronomy. So what I want to do is just expose you to the fact that, hey, even though the Bible doesn't say He created wandering stars and stationary stars, you can understand that He did. And you can believe that He did. Even though the Bible does not say that He says that the moon and the sun are both lights, it's pretty easy to understand that when we observe the moon, that it is not a light source. It is only a reflector. And we know those things by watching, by observing. And I apologize that you can watch and observe these things on a computer. We could have gone outside and watched the sky, and we'd had to stay there for the whole night and then come back again for 365 days, or maybe just once a month, just to look at the different constellations that you can see. Now the confusion, and some of the reasons why you don't see that, is because you look straight up. So picture Mr. Earth standing here again, and the sun standing here. And when you look straight up, notice that the constellation you see is always the same. Okay, does that make sense? So when you're sitting here at midnight and you look straight up, you see the North Star. I should have stuck a North Star right about there. Let's go over there. You see this here North Star, okay? And every time you look up, you see the North Star. And when you go around in the orbit a little bit, you look up and you see the North Star. When you go around a little bit, you see the North Star. And so, no matter what time of the year it is, you can look up and see the North Star. You can't do that in Peru. I tried it. You can't see the North Star from Peru. And so again,
as we understand this, again, it's easy for us to understand that, wow, there is a system here. And there is times and there is seasons. And let me go ahead and say my main theme, because sometimes we lose track of it. We're having so much fun. The heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament, all those constellations of stars, whether they're wandering or whether they're stationary, the firmament that contains those lights showeth His handiwork. And we worship an almighty and all-handy God. Father, praise You again and thank You for the things that we've seen in Your Word today. And Father, for an understanding that You could give us about the greatness of this universe that You've built around us. Father, we plead sometimes ignorance about a lot of these things, but we stand in awe of You and ask again that You'd help us to understand everything that happens under heaven. That is the toil, that is the job that Solomon declares for every human. And I pray again, especially believers would understand the universe around us that You created just for man. And we'll praise You now and thank You for the wonder we've seen in it even today. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, that's gone a little longer than I intended, but I was having so much fun we couldn't quit. So let's go ahead and have an invitation. We worship a great God. We worship again, and we live in a marvelous, unprecedented universe. And we are just now beginning to understand what all we have around us. Let's stand and sing an invitation. I surrender all. I think it's 380. And as we do that, let's remember who is our Creator that we're surrendering to. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That is the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. He is our Creator, and He is worthy of our worship today. Did we find that song? 308, okay? A dyslexic 8 and an O there. 308, all to Jesus I surrender. As we sing that, boy, let's surrender to our Creator and our God. All to Jesus.